Can I rock the party? Can I rock the funky jam? What's happening, boys and girls? My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and I'm feeling energized. I'm feeling New Year's energized. You know how the New Year comes and you get this idea that you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to become this. You know, I'm going to kill this backdrop. I'm going to do something with this backdrop to make it more platonic or more Jeffrey TV. Because I really want to start eliminating other brands or other associations for whatever reason. So, you know, you see all the stuff behind me and P-Funk Associated. I don't want to be, you know, my opinions are my opinions. And sometimes, you know, everybody doesn't agree with your opinion. And they may or may not want your opinion. They're, you know, you're whatever. And they have that right to. So can you see the cord hanging down there looking all weird? I might look into eliminating other brands and branding in my productions. Because you notice that the shirts, I don't wear any shirts that have brands like Nike or Jordan. I got a bunch. In fact, I just put a bunch of those in the Goodwill thing. I never wear them. It's only like, one thing I'm going to wear is, I wear the LA Maggots lately. That just started. P-Funk in Pittsburgh. You don't really see me, or Jeffrey T in Jeffrey TV, Jeffrey 1962. And I even want to get away from wearing Pittsburgh and P-Funk because I want autonomy. Autonomy is my thing. Autonomy. It was a couple times in my life where things happened and my happiness was deterred or side railed because of another person. And I kind of vowed that I don't want this happening again. And I think I thought I fixed this from making so much noise. That's probably why I'm on. I don't know if you can hear it. But it's making a little noise. It's making a lot more. I made an adjustment. See, like, the right side doesn't make noise. Left side makes a little noise. I think it was just a matter of loosening the screw. So what I'll do is I'll loosen it and probably drop some oil in it. But anyway, back to autonomy. I mean, autonomy is my thing. I just, there's been times where I'll be in here and I'll get the greatest pleasure knowing that I don't have to do anything or talk to anybody. Well, that might be different. But on the other end of the spectrum, there's been times when I've reached out to people and, you know, that means I'm expecting a call back or they should call me back. And I should have to talk to them and I'm sitting there dreading. I'm sitting there dreading having to be on the phone talking to this person or that person. And it's not about bills or anything. It's, you know, fun stuff. I mean, fun. Oh, yeah. You know, fun, exciting stuff. But even then, I'm just like, I'd rather just sit here and not be bothered. You know, and even sometimes when in the early stages of a relationship, and somebody I could be excited about, or this or that, and I'm like, oh God, is this person gonna call me? Oh, I hope they don't call me, because then I'm gonna have to talk to them, and then I'm gonna have to, and it might just be me, thinking that I have to go into some kind of energy mode or some kind of character or carry my, like I have a responsibility in the conversation to do this or that or that or this, where I should just be able to say, hey, what, you know, just come with no energy and be like, oh, you know, I really don't feel like doing this, you know, after they call back or whatever. Sometimes, yeah, the honesty, my thing is honesty. Always been honesty. And a lot of times I can be with somebody having a good time, you know, all kinds of relationships, all kinds of associations, having a good time, but it just come to a point I gotta get away so I could just, I call it Jeffrey time. I don't know if it's, I need quiet. I don't know if I need to be by myself and just, you know, hear the quietness of my own thoughts, or if I just want to get to a place where I can just totally just be and do whatever I want to and think what I want to do. Don't got to respond. Don't got to anything. And I'm not sure, but it's, I mean, because it's been situations I've been, the best, just wonderful situations. Things going on. I mean, just everything, happy. And it just come a point where I'm like, okay, okay, I got to go. So as far as autonomy goes, that's that. Also with autonomy, you learn to handle things on your own and not to depend on people. So therefore, I don't reach out to people that much. So when they reach out to me, I'm usually jolted. It's like, whoop. What? Huh? And then I got to remember, you're human. You're human, Jeffrey. You're human. You're human. I don't believe in that brother's keeper bullshit. No, that's going too far. But just being a human, you know, and just check out the situation. Can I help? At least evaluate the situation. Can I help? Can I not help? Do I want to? Do I not want to? At least go that far to at least evaluate the situation. You know, that brother's keeper stuff, ride or die. I say that I don't got no ride or die situations in my life, but, and this brings me back to autonomy almost perfectly, ride and die. Because one thing about the solitude, I'm not even solitude, but the being with self or self, this thing's making too much noise, ain't it? I need to try to fix that. Because there's only one side doing it, too. I got oil and stuff. I should pause it, huh? I'm going to try it. Watch. I'm going to pause it and see what happens. See, I can't pause from remote. That's too bad, huh? See, I get on these videos and I start saying controversial stuff, you know, and I don't want anybody who... Look at that. See, I did it. No noise. I loosened the screw and just dropped a couple pieces of oil in there. I think the screw was just too tight. Now you just go worried about it falling off. And I think the other one tried to make a noise or two, but this other one is perfectly quiet. And I think this one is making noise, but just barely. You can hear it? Just a little bit. I can probably... It's making a little noise. I think it's going to do that, but... Much better. Anyhow, let's talk about autonomy. And as I've said before... My happiness with self sustains me. 80, 90% of the time, 75% of the time, that happiness, this deep happiness I get just being alone and being by myself, that I can get alone and with, not just being by myself, that I achieve when I'm alone and in the solitude. I don't even know if you can call it solitude because it doesn't feel like solitude with all the social media stuff I got going on. I'm like connected. You know, and I'm, you know, talking to people and interacting. But I found a deep happiness with myself and with being by myself. Being by myself, but not alone, I guess, but just being by myself. And that happiness is, or that level of happiness or happy or whatever it is, just... my baseline demeanor or my baseline happiness, whatever, you know, I'm up there. I'm probably, from what I see around people and talking to people, you know, I'm doing pretty good compared to what I hear from other people. So that is the biggest, probably the biggest joy in my, that's probably the biggest joy in my life, that, you know, I can be that happy while I'm by myself. But the highest and the most exciting and the most energetic and the most pleasurable moments come with other people, no doubt. They're achieved with other people, groups, one-on-one, but they're peaks and they're not sustained. And maybe from that, I learned to find a happiness and a joy within myself, by myself in here, with all my toys. I've always had toys. And by toys, I mean like a setup. In fact, I had a setup just like this in my bedroom since high school. It was CB radios and CB radios, shortwave radios, and AM FM recorder, AM FM radio so I could record and just stuff like that. You know, and I had microphones so I could, I mean, CB so I would talk and stuff. So I always had a setup and a console. And more than one person has mentioned to me about my setup that they remember how you would walk in my room and hit one button and just everything would just boosh. A couple people were, you know, remember that. That made an impact on them. And that was just something that I did, you know, just something else. You know, just, that's the way, it's almost like, that's the way it's supposed to work. What do you mean? You know, so I didn't really think nothing of it. But so, and I've always found, been able to find a happiness with myself. And then when it, so when I do get with another person, you know, it's not out of desperation. It's not out of need. It's not out of, something needs to be fulfilled. There's not that I'm lacking something. And the highest peaks that I've had have been with other people. But they're spikes and they don't last long. And so over this, and this, in my autonomy even extends to family and how I treat or how I attempt to interact with family. Because I tease, you know, my cousins and my sisters and them. It's like every time they leave, they make this big, long goodbye. And I'm like, ain't you going to see them in 2 weeks, in 2 hours? Yeah, but, you know, you never know. What if you didn't say hi, bye to them? Then I'd be dead. It wouldn't matter. Or they would, and it wouldn't matter. But, yeah. But, you know, and I understand it's human. I understand that that little thing probably helped in our evolution, our socialization, civilization, all of that. And I know that that kind of behavior, social behavior, you know, even though it doesn't resonate well with me, I know I can't put it down because I know it probably had a lot to do with who we are as a species and a, our, you know, I was going to say genre. I don't even know because I'm just talking. I'm just streaming consciousness. I'm just talking. But so I see that and I'm just like, ugh. Like me and granddaughter, I was like, we don't kiss, we headbutt. So I was trying to teach her how to headbutt. Headbutt, you know, you teach her how to headbutt. You know, just like that. We also don't, we're not going to get mushy like that. And I like to equate it and I believe it too. Just do your job. Just do your job in this family. And you may or may not, it may or may not be declared. It may or may not be stated, but in my family growing up, it was always, you know, we wasn't taught to love and compassion and take care of this. You know, I was told to watch out for my sister and, you know, all for one, but it wasn't like that ride or die. I mean, all we all in it, us against the world stuff. No, it was, to me, what I remember most, or not most, but one of the main factors was, don't embarrass your father. That was like my probably guiding principle. Don't bring nothing home that's going to embarrass Mr. Mitchell, because I saw this man carry himself at a level that you didn't want to mess up the integrity of that. You know, you didn't want to bring that home, and it was almost embarrassing for me to do certain things, you know, considering watching him operate in the family that I was in, and the level of execution and the way we handled things on Dewey Street. I didn't want to embarrass him. You knew, it's like I knew what to do. It was, and I was never, I don't remember saying, never ever being told, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. It was more of, I understood the consequences and the bigger picture of, you know, of dishonesty, you know, treating people a certain way. I wasn't taught like the actions. I was taught the overall philosophies behind your actions. I believe, I don't know. I just might be making that up because that's what I do now. Because we had a conversation, a chat, how we were talking that, you know, how do I explain murder to my kids? And I was like, I don't. I don't tell them it's wrong, right, or wrong. I just, you present the consequences and why I wouldn't do it and do it. And they got to make their own decision. It's not like, you know, they have a list of things that they can do and a list they don't do. I give them a philosophical, like a higher understanding of things. And then they make their decision based on the things they want. If I do this, you know, if I do this and I tell them, hey, this is what happens when I do that. This is what happens usually. You know, they make a decision. Is that going to fit into their plan or what they want to do or what they want to go? So I thought I'd fix this. It's back to making noise again. So, you know, that's how that goes. And I don't know what I was talking about, but I'm just in a, you know, trying to get some stuff. I think I might, I don't know if I'm going to make $10,000 a day. But I was just got back from Ohio. Today's what? Yeah, I just went over to my mother's for a couple of days, a day or two. I forget how many. But, and I'm off tomorrow, and I could use another down day. And full disclosure, every now and then I start smoking Black & Miles. And last time I went to Ohio, I've been going to Ohio to see Granddad every 2 months. Last time I went, did I tell you about the party? Oh, the party was good. Oh, the party was so good. Back to family again. Forget about me and my Black & Miles. But the party and the group and the family and friends, the little circle that seems to have formed, it was a one-year-old birthday party. We just had a good time. Just loud and talking crazy and just running around. And then, you know, after she got loosened up, it was just, you know, we're all sitting there proud, seeing her walk around the party like she ain't worried about it. All this noise and music playing. She just walking around like she was at home. She just followed me. I started walking, so she followed me. So, I walked in a circle and then spun her around. You know, she was just like, because she's not a lap baby. She is definitely not a lap baby. Even when she was young, before she could walk or anything, I was like, you can't hold her like a baby no more. She want to stand up and be looking out. You can't hold her like a baby no more because, you know, the quote-unquote women, you don't want to cuddle and hold her because a woman can just hold a baby that don't do nothing. And when granddaughter was born, I'm like, she can't do nothing. Why am I here? Well, what's the point? I'll wait. And it's a good thing I did wait because I wanted to be there when she was born. But what the heck more? And then when I look back, when she was like 2 months old, when I saw her, however old, she really couldn't do nothing, but the little bit she could do, I was on it. Like, look, if she could get her attention, look over here, clap, see her reactions, anything. And then I looked back, and I was like, look at that little thing. That thing couldn't do nothing. I was all enthralled with that. That little thing couldn't do nothing. And because we put her in the, you know, we go for walks. And Kimberly came out here, we go for a walk. And I would walk in front of the stroller and say, granddaughter, over here. Granddaughter, and watch her head just turn and follow me. You know, that was enough. You know, that's interaction. That's the game. You know, you see her just turning, you know. And she smiled. See if you can get a smile a couple times or get a reaction. I tied a balloon to her wrist. So she was able to move her arm and see a reaction on the balloon because she definitely could see the balloon. That's the little stuff like that, you know. Or she was like downstairs and I was upstairs. Granddaughter, get her to look up and see if she can find where, you know, where I was coming from, stuff like that. And I look back at that little, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, or whatever. And I was like, wow, compared to what she can do now, that was nothing, you know. But back then it was something, you know. Compared to what she's doing now, she's walking now and you can, you know, do stuff and watch her. She loved to climb and stand up on stuff. She grabs and you can see her look at stuff and think about stuff and try to figure stuff out and all of that. So, you know, compared to what she's, you know, when she was really like 2, 3, 4 months old or whatever, you know, it was a big deal to take her to Santa Monica Pier and just let her see the big Ferris wheel lights at night. Because you can see her just looking too. So, you know, I just sit there and look. Or, you know, put TV in front of her or something, you know, just, or anything to get a reaction. reactions were big. You know, now we got not only just reactions, we got actions now on top of the reactions. And you can watch her try to figure stuff out. You see her go to do that. You see her look on her face. She'll see something. Gary go try to put it in her mouth. You know, and then she'll talk back to you. Ah. And you catch her mimicking you or doing what, saying what you said. You know, all of that stuff. All of that is good. And yeah, good thing I stopped and checked, but I probably deserve it. I didn't have my phone in my pocket, so that 26 minutes that I was on the glider didn't count. But I deserve it. I deserve to be punished like that. And the reason I knew it was 26 minutes is because it was probably longer than that. And it was about 26 because I look at this video, it's about 29 minutes long. The reason I knew it was 26 is because my screen timed out and I went into invalid status. Because I guess the screensaver kicks in if you don't move your mouse or anything. And for some reason, it seemed like it's shorter. I don't ever remember it being this short before. So it said I was in invalid status for 26 minutes. Since I pinged my coworker and said, hey, man, excuse that. So now I got the mouse in my pocket. That's all I can do is put the mouse in my pocket. And it's going to move. I got 4,000 steps. And I wonder if these are really steps. Are these equivalent to bike riding steps? Because all it is I'm stuck on the steps thing. Okay, walking, I get. Walking with the phone in your pocket, steps. To me, that's going to be solid. You know, that's probably the most effort to get a step. But then my plantar fasciitis kicked in, so I had to start riding a bike. But I kept the phone in my pocket because it counts steps with the pedals. And I checked a few things, and it seemed that to be, you know, fairly even. And then now on the glider with it in my pocket, it comes down to, you know, how much effort am I putting in to get these steps? Obviously, walking is probably going to be the most because it's weight-bearing. But biking, maybe I pedal more than I get credit for. And then I Google it, and they even say like 10 miles or something like that equates. But And I think I would get 100 steps a minute or something like that. 100 steps a minute walking. So now, and oh, I could probably see if I could turn that screen around and see myself. See, now I want to go see if I'm timed out. Let me go see if I see. I got to stop and go see if I'm timed out. And I don't want to do that every 6 minutes when I'm trying to work out. Okay, what I did was I got the mouse in my pocket, and to monitor how well that's working, I turned the screen so I could see when it times out. That's all I had to do was just turn the screen a little bit. I got those cables so tight, what I need to do is stop and try to work on the squeaking again. I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to stop and work on the squeaking. Hold on. Watch me pause this and see what I can do. All right, so I think I did something. Can you see the, you can see the, can of oil in my Allen wrench that I'm using. All right, so I did something. And it's not as noisy, so we'll see how long it lasts. How's that? A little bit of squeaking, but not too bad. And as I said, I did 26 minutes with my, without my phone in my pocket. It was sitting over there charging. So those steps won't count, but I deserve it. I deserve to have to put in extra steps. I don't mind. I don't mind. See how it's starting to squeak back again? That's a screw. I think it's coming from down the bottom. See, it's coming from down at the bottom. I don't know where, but probably not that bad. It's definitely not as bad as it was earlier, before. So I can look over here at my screen, see that I'm not timed out. and I'm still in available status, and I got my mouse in my pocket. I'm a genius. Oopsie, that's what I'm talking about. Hear that call? That's an email. Come up here, hit that.